You're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Well, hey, thanks for joining us today on Boggy Talk. We hope all of our listeners are having a great week. Today we have another new guest with us, Michael. Hello, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, we've been doing a series last month, I guess.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you've done like five. I've done two, I think.
Okay.
Justin did two or three, so yeah.
Well, the series is just we're trying to highlight different ministries that we have, different pastors, new people that we have. And Michael, you are not new. You've been here. Yeah, so tell us a little bit about your position and role here at Church on Bayshore.
Yeah, so I'm the discipleship and outreach pastor, and Dana and I have been here for 14 years. And we just have a heart to see people growing in their walk with the Lord and have an awesome opportunity as well with outreach to help people engage missionally in our community to share the gospel and to meet needs. So just excited about how the Lord's working in our church family.
Yeah. Well, you said you were a discipleship pastor, so we use that. I think we talked a little bit about that word with family discipleship.
We did, yep.
But in a position like yours, when someone says you're the discipleship pastor, what are we talking about when we talk about just what discipleship is in the church in general?
Yeah, I mean, I'll say, one of our staff values is even that everything begins and ends with discipleship. So that's probably reflective of like why we all have jobs. So I know that a lot of your job, Kelly, probably doesn't feel like much to do with discipleship necessarily. And sometimes even in our jobs, even as a discipleship pastor and lead pastor, we feel like the things we're doing aren't necessarily discipleship related. But the truth is the church exists to make disciples of Jesus Christ, to glorify him by making disciples of Jesus Christ. Disciple means follower, learner. And so the reason we do that is not because I'm clever or because Michael's clever, but Jesus gave us the Great Commission, which says go and make disciples of all nations. He goes on to say, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. And he promises to be with us in that. So like when we talk about believe, belong, become as our vision, it's because Jesus said that. Mm-hmm. So discipleship is really everything we're trying to do here. Now, Michael might have a little more specificity.
Yeah.
Specificity? Is that how you say that?
Sure.
Specificness?
What do you say? I don't know. Specificity.
You're math guy.
I was a math guy, so I'm not going to help with vocabulary.
I'm not going to be able to do
you're
it.
You're the
now.
One if
on
I send an email. I was going to say, if I send an email, you figured that out. I guess you just put it through ChatGPT.
Yeah, I need to ask ChatGPT first. My secret.
Yeah, Michael might give a little more clarity on what that looks like here at Church on Bayshore specifically.
Yeah,
so discipleship, like James said, is following Jesus and what that looks like. And so for us as a church family, we want to help people grow, not just in following him, but in following him means in our trust of him and our obedience to him. Mm-hmm. And so not only growing personally, but that we would also walk alongside other people to help them as well grow in their trust and obedience of Jesus. And so discipleship, it's a lifelong journey. Mm-hmm. It never ends.
That's right.
We're
That's good.
Part of it, yeah. Walking with the Lord and allowing him to transform our lives. And so that brings some peace of mind that, you know, we're not missing the mark, but that we continue to pursue the Lord and to surrender to him. But also it's not, discipleship isn't just something we do, but it's who we are. Mm-hmm. That call that the Lord's mm-hmm. placed on our lives becomes our identity, that we desire to know the Lord, we desire to obey him, and to give our lives to him, that he'd be honored and glorified mm-hmm. in and through us.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I like that you mentioned that it doesn't stop. It's not like a place that we're ever going to get to, and that's a really great reminder. So you had mentioned earlier that everything begins and ends with discipleship. So as a church, what is that – like what kind of goals do we make to make sure that that is part of our essentials and part of our vision?
Yeah. Before Michael kind of dives into, you know, actual like metrics that we have – I just want to reiterate again, everything we're doing mm-hmm. is about discipleship. Mm-hmm. It's that every person who is a part of our church family, including myself, that we would become more like Christ as we are a part of this church family. And, you know, specifically, you know, we have children and students and we have people who are only here for a couple of years. So there's like this, even this kind of urgency, which I think every church should have, but this urgency to say, we want to give people the tools. We want to make the connection so that people would be able to, if they pursue Jesus, to become more like him as a part of our church. And Pastor Michael and our discipleship MLT really are trying to sense, hey, how's the Lord specifically calling Bayshore to do those kind of things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I would say that our goal is to see people walking faithfully with the Lord. And so there are a lot of different ways to measure that. Sometimes it's difficult to measure that looks like. But I think two things that first come to mind. One is we don't want people just to come to church on Bayshore and be an attender in a worship gathering and then come and leave while the worship and the preaching of God's word is so essential to our growth. We need other believers. Right. We need each other to be able to grow in our walk with the Lord. The Lord designed us to be in relationship with others. Yeah. All the one another's in scriptures, love one another, serve one another, care for one another. All those admonishments are so important as we walk with the Lord. But also it comes down to the day, everyone's daily walk with the Lord. Like, are we, as each person, walking with the Lord? Do we know him? Do we spend time with him in his word? Do we protect that time and realize that he's given us his word to reveal himself to us? And there's a book by Robbie Gallaty that myself and our discipleship MLT, we read together last year, maybe the year before. And the thing that really stuck out is just biblical literacy. Do our people that gather on Sunday mornings, do they know the scripture, not just for information and just what they have in their mind, a knowledge, but are they being transformed by the power of the gospel as they spend time with Jesus? And then our five discipleship essentials are so, so key. We share those a lot, just worship, grow, serve, give, and reach. And so these are metrics that we use as a church, but also that we want our people to be examining their own hearts and their own lives of, okay, Lord, like, what does my life look like in personal and corporate worship as we gather each week and as I spend time with you during the week? Growing, are we, how many of our people are we able to get from the worship gathering into our life groups to be part of a community of believers that are challenging one another and sharpening one another, spurring one another on to love and good deeds, to be faithful to the Lord and to grow in him, serving? What does that look like in our church as we meet needs within our community and within our church family, but also the community as well? And then giving, it's a stewardship issue, it's a generosity issue, and really a heart issue. And so those are things that we look at. And then the foundation of all those things should be compelling us to, as we leave from this place, to go into our homes, into our neighborhoods, into our schools, and into our community, and even around the world, wherever the Lord may call us individually and corporately, to share the good news of Jesus with others.
You had mentioned some specifics. Well, you mentioned life group being, you know, a vehicle that, it's not a vehicle, but it is one way to be connected to people. What about
some of our life groups look like a bus? Some of them look like a Mustang. You know,
this is true. All kinds. Yeah, all kinds.
That's right.
How many churches in the '90s did something like that?
Yeah,
right? Bring their car. Okay, all right, keep going. My bad.
You guys went
to church in the '90s, so you have trauma.
I know.
Yeah, we do.
We blocked it out. We can't even remember that anymore. Life groups, something that you're over and that have been super important. What are some other ways that, like, I know that you guys have started a new discipleship.
Yes.
Pathway.
Pathway. Thank you.
Yeah. Journey, pathway, what's it called?
Pathway, journey. Okay. Yeah. Either one. yeah. Same thing. But yeah, so it's been really awesome. Pastor James has said this often from the pulpit, that what would it look like? Would we be faithful if the Lord led 100 people to come to faith in Christ? Would we have people to walk alongside of them? Mm-hmm. And so we had the opportunity as a discipleship MLT to look at that and to, how can we be faithful to those that the Lord draws to himself and they come to faith in him and are baptized here in our church? How do we walk alongside of them other than just saying, hey, here's a life group to be a part of, which that is the primary way we do discipleship here. But what does it look like to follow Jesus for someone who's never walked with the Lord, who maybe has no background in the church? And so we created a pathway to help our church family walk alongside of new believers. And so we have 36 people right now from our church family that have committed that say, hey, I'm willing to walk alongside of a new believer one-on-one with them and walk through the scripture for a year, making a year commitment, walking through the scripture, meeting together weekly, sometimes every other week, discussing that, helping them learn how to study God's word, how to build some of those spiritual disciplines that can't and that aren't necessarily explicitly taught in life group. The application of that and the, you know, larger picture of that is modeled in a larger group, but to actually sit down and take time to walk through the New Testament together. And so that's what they're doing and will be doing. And so we're excited. We've already had a few new believers and get baptized. And so we have two or three right now that are currently walking with some church members. So it's been so encouraging just to hear how the Lord's using those relationships to teach people what it means to be followers of Jesus and to grow in their trust and obedience of Him.
Yeah, that's so wonderful that that is available because, I mean, we have people of all different walks and stages of life that, you know, visit our church, and it's so important to be ready for them, you know, and to be able to equip them. So all of these things are amazing, you know, that we have in place. What are some challenges that you kind of run up against?
There are challenges with anything within the church, and I think that's just a reality and a reminder of just the spiritual battle that goes on. That as the Lord is working, the enemy does not want to see people coming to faith in Christ. He does not want to see believers growing in their relationship and being faithful to the Lord. One of the things I thought of is just the challenge of helping people to prioritize discipleship and prioritize their personal walk with the Lord. I mean, life is busy. And for younger families, you throw kids in the mix. You know, we have four kiddos. James has seven kiddos right now. You have four kiddos, and it can be very hard. There's a lot of things competing for our attention, our time, our schedules. But really to be committed, not just to the church, but to the Lord and His work and what He's doing. As James said, like what we're doing here is discipleship, is being faithful to the Great Commission to reach people, to help people believe in Jesus and to find a place to belong and grow in their walk. And so just knowing how to balance that time, but also be intentional in the time that we have when we're out in the community and we're doing as you are going, make disciples.
I love that you started there with just the desire, right? The heart, like, you know, you used the illustration of a family as a parent. There are so many things that I need to do, but I can't neglect feeding myself and I can't neglect feeding my children. And, you know, as Christians, we really get caught up in what all are the things that we as a church family should be doing or as an individual should be doing, often to the neglect of feeding ourselves and feeding our children, you know, feeding someone. And so, and that's something that every believer is called to do. So I love that you just start there. The greatest challenge is that Satan doesn't want us to do this. And so many of us go with, easily with the culture, you know, and don't do it.
And he makes us think like, well, if you're tired or you need to zone out or, you know, use this to help that, like
use
the TV,
this,
that, you know, scroll or whatever, when really we need to be in the word and in prayer. And it seems counterproductive, which is sad, but it does, you know, like our flesh just doesn't think that. And so to be able to get to a place where when you're tired or you're weary or whatever, the first thing that you're reaching for is, you know, God's word or prayer. Is a hard place to get at, but it takes practice and it takes time and you have to just.
It really does.
Yeah.
I mean, we just walked through Luke at the very beginning of the new year, walking through the Bible reading plan and just reading through and seeing Jesus' ministry and the amount of times that he got away by himself and the things that he could have been doing, ministry, the great works he could have been doing, but he, God himself needed time away and needed to, so how much more should we, you know? And so I think as I read through that, that was just super convicting, just personally.
Isn't that funny? That we're like, it's not a big of a priority to me. I mean, it was to Jesus who was sinless, but I'll be all right. I can make it.
We can push through. We can do it.
America. Sorry.
No, that's fitting. That's fitting.
Okay. But I think the last challenge I will do want to hit on is just helping people see that discipleship is a journey. Like I mentioned that earlier, because it's very easy to take what we say or the things that we're trying, like the next steps we want people to take of like, hey, we do want to see people go from the worship gathering to a life group and, you know, make that commitment. We do offer equipping classes. We do offer these things to help assist and encourage people in their walk with the Lord. But those in and of themselves, getting connected to a group or to a class or to an event is not the goal. It's not the desire. But these are tools and providing environment for the personal each individual's personal walk with the Lord.
That's good.
Yeah, so. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
So for people that are wondering, they're thinking, okay, I want to do this. I want to be a disciple of Christ. What's your first steps? How do you get them on that path?
Yeah. First, I would say just prioritizing your time with the Lord, being in the Word, praying. I think it starts right there with just telling the Lord, hey, I want to be more faithful in following you. Mm-hmm. That's not a bad prayer for every day, every morning, prioritizing that time. And maybe you don't know how to spend time in the Word. Maybe you've not done that before. We have people here at the church. Mm-hmm. We have people on staff. We have church members, lay leaders who want to help people know what it means to have a personal relationship and walk with Jesus. And so prioritizing time with him, just thinking about Acts 4 when Peter and John were before the Sanhedrin. They're like, right. We can't help but speaking about what we've seen and heard. Mm-hmm. The best thing to be changed by Jesus is to be spending time with him.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so yeah. I think next is just being intentional in your spiritual growth, like taking those steps, letting someone know, even if they're not going to, you know, maybe you have the time set and you've walked through scripture before, but just having someone to hold you accountable, to encourage you in that. If people aren't involved in a life group, like it's not the end all be all, but we need community. We need other people as we read through the scriptures, as we wrestle through what scripture tells us and commands of us. So I think those are some important things. And then also just know that growing in the Lord, just trust that it takes time. It's a process. Mm-hmm. Just like if you're going to pick up a new hobby or a new habit or pick up a new skill, you're not going to instantly just be a professional at it. You're not, if you start working out or running or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. It's all gradual. And so our spiritual walk, I think that's the other thing to be at peace with, is discipleship is a journey where we never fully become like Christ this side of heaven. And so being with Jesus, spending time with him and his word, and having other people to hold you accountable and to encourage you in that, I think is the way to start.
Take that, John Wesley. Sorry, he says you. Anyway, I'm perfectionism. It's okay. Yeah, no, I think that's great stuff that Michael just said. I'm really not adding to that. But last Thursday I spoke at we have a Christian school for those who live out of the area in this community called Rocky Bayou Christian School, and I spoke at their chapel. And I was talking about Matthew 5, 1 and 2. So Matthew 5 through 7 is a Sermon on the Mount, right? Mm-hmm. The literal most impactful speech that's ever been given. Like, even if you're not a Christian, like,
right.
It has impacted the world. Mm-hmm. But chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, before he says all this stuff, Matthew writes, he went on the mountain, began to teach, and his disciples came to him. Then he goes to say all that. Well, Matthew's writing this past tense, but when he's writing about the Sermon on the Mount, what stuck out to Matthew is that the disciples came to the feet of Jesus to hear what he had to say. Mm-hmm. And so many of us, like, we're not coming to the feet of Jesus. Mm-hmm. We want the Sermon on the Mount in our life, but we don't go to him, right? Yeah. We don't come to him. And so, and yet, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. He says all these things about how the kingdom of God, you know, blessed are those, I can't remember right now, but theirs is the kingdom. Like, he says all these things about how we experience the kingdom living. But again, what's the posture of the disciples? And so I think, like, I know we're coming back to that. And it's like, you probably rather us give us like 7 steps. And there are steps, discipleship pathway, life group. Yeah. But at the end of the day, like, you've got a hunger for this. Mm-hmm. And then we as a church are saying, hey, if you are hungering for this, there are vehicles you can get in to get there. So, what was the question you asked in the first place? What challenges, right?
Well, it was.
Or what advice?
What advice?
Email Michael at churchonbayshore.org.
There you go.
But seriously.
Yeah, for sure. We have all kinds of things. So maybe somebody's at a point where they're like, and everybody really is at this point because we're all like a day ahead of someone else, right? Mm-hmm. That you're thinking, well, I feel like, you know, I want to be involved in somebody else's life and helping them grow to walk with the Lord and to disciple others. And I think that can be, I think that some people think they need to be in their, you know, 50s, 60s to be able to do that effectively, or they need to have been a Christian their whole life. And I just don't think that that's true, because I feel like so many people have so much to offer others, and especially where God has placed you, you know, for who's around you. But what would you say to somebody who wants to help make disciples?
Man, if you're in that place, like, that's the Lord speaking to you. And we really should all be in that place mm-hmm. to want to pour into other people. Yeah, we don't have to be perfect. None of us are perfect and know all the answers.
Take that, John
we,
Wesley.
We just need.
Beat up on Wesley today.
I know. Apparently, I am. But just a willingness to invest into other people, and there are. It's an interesting, I guess, paradox because there are people in the church that want others to pour into them, mm-hmm. and there's people that want to pour into others. Mm-hmm. But the connecting point is just. Been so interesting, and I really think up until our generation, where kind of this one-on-one discipleship and smaller group of discipleship intentionality of D groups really kind of started in the early 2000s, late 90s, and it's been so influential in my life. And thinking back to it, like I really, for most of the guys that mentored me or discipled me, I was the one going to them saying, "Hey, I see some things in you that I want to be in my own life." Some character of Christ that you reflect that I want to see as well as a new husband, as a new dad, different times in my life. And I wish it wasn't that way. Mm-hmm. But it's also been challenging to me to be the one to go and initiate with other men and say, "Hey, I want to walk alongside of you. Like, let's journey in following Jesus together." Mm-hmm. And the blessing that comes from that is just tremendous. Mm-hmm. And the amount of challenge and growth, whether it's from a question that maybe you don't know the answer to even something as you're walking through scripture together that the Lord reveals to them and they're sharing, or even something that they're wrestling with, like, man, the Lord just uses that as you're walking alongside. And so I think just remembering that part of this is just teaching by example and modeling it, not that we're perfect at it, and just doing life together. But the whole intent of making disciples is to point people to Jesus. Like, I'm not the answer. The person discipling isn't the answer, but it's Jesus. The transformation isn't coming from what we're doing or who's in the group, but the transformation comes from who you're looking to, and having your eyes fixed on Jesus is so important. But yeah, if people are asking these questions and maybe, you know, maybe this one-on-one discipleship journey that we're starting with newer believers, maybe that's the case. Maybe there's someone in your life group or a few other men or a few other women. And I think that's where you start. And you seek the Lord in that. And whether it's connecting with me and me helping you connect with a newer believer, or just those already natural relationships that you have in the neighborhood, in the workplace, whatever it may be, pray and ask the Lord, like, who is it that I could be intentionally walking alongside of so that we would mutually be encouraged in our faith and growing closer to Jesus.
That's good. Yeah, I mean, I just start inviting people to follow you as you follow Christ.
Yeah.
Jesus had people who, I'm sure there are people that just chose not to follow him as he was walking around, and there are people who walked away from following him. So I think that's one thing is like, to embrace, like, you're probably going to have some failures, quote unquote. I mean, if Jesus did, then you probably are. And so I think, like, where can you start? I would say if you're like a baby believer and you don't know what to do, it would probably be wise to, like, be discipled and bring that person you want to disciple with you.
Yeah.
So we're going to get discipled together because you do want to, you know, you want to be careful if you don't know a whole lot. But that doesn't mean you can't start. I mean, the blind man, I don't know if you remember this in the scripture when he's questioned about who Jesus was and he's like, "I don't know, but I know I was blind, but now I see." He didn't talk in that accent, but like that's kind of how I imagine it. Like,
seems right.
The woman at the well, right? Who's like, "This man, you know, like told me everything about me." Like, you know, you can begin to proclaim the gospel, and that is a part of discipleship. Evangelism is a part of discipleship. But but again, I would just say at our church, there are, like, you can email Michael at church@bayshore.org and he can give you the training. He can give you the pathway, you know. But, yeah. And then being in a life group, I know there's a lot of life groups. There's a lot of godly examples in our. We're just so blessed as a church.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful for that. Yeah. So,
yeah.
You guys both lead life groups.
Yeah. You had mentioned that it. You got enough on your plate.
Sorry. Well.
You had mentioned evangelism. So, how does discipleship fit in with evangelism?
Yeah, I mean, we separate those things too often, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, evangelism is just a place on the discipleship journey. But what's interesting is a lot of times when you're discipling someone who you think is a Christian, you come to find out they come to find out they're not a Christian.
Yeah.
Mm.
And so I do think, like, there's a lot of people who, if you were like, hey, do you want to be a Christian? They'd be like, no. But there are a lot of people who you'd be like, hey, I know you're spiritual. Do you want to read the Bible with me? That they might be willing to do that.
Yeah.
And so I would just say, you know, obviously, if someone gives their life to Christ, they need to be discipled. But evangelism, if good discipleship is so gospel-centered because it's scripture-centered and the scripture is gospel-centered. It's all about Jesus. I would say that evangelism, we got to be careful about saying it's this one moment in the discipleship process.
True, yeah.
And just recognize it could happen along the discipleship process. Does that make sense? What I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, I liked, I don't know what it is, but that word always like scares people sometimes.
Evangelism?
You know? Yeah. Like evangel, or you want to, you know, talk about learning how to evangelize people. And I feel like people are like, no, but recently.
They like make bird noises.
Yeah.
No gospel. Sorry.
Oh gosh.
Sorry, my bad.
But.
Sorry.
It just reminds me of the Wilson's class that they did with that book. And
which was well attended, man.
Yes. Yeah.
24 people.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so but thankful.
Changing the wording, as silly as it sounds, to gospel conversations every day, and you're like, oh, that's what evangelism is. Yeah. It's just talking to people. You know, it just makes so much more sense to me, and I love that they did that and that that book is titled that.
Yeah, I think the name change really did have was one of the things that had an impact of just the word evangelism just has there's a script I've got to follow. There's things I've got to know and things I've got to do. If I mess up one piece of it, I've completely messed up sharing the gospel.
Right.
But
and now I was going to hell. It's all my fault.
Oh my goodness. But I think also like Art and Vicky leading that class, like they just are one of many couples in our church that exemplify what it means to live daily with the gospel in mind and seeing the loss and being burdened for the loss and using those everyday interactions for gospel conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
It's amazing how when you really are like, okay, I need to be on mission, God puts opportunities in front of you.
That's a good reminder.
It really is amazing.
Well, so with the bird call, that's not my calling. Is that a thing? Is it everyone's calling? What if somebody asks you that? What do you say to them? Ooh. That's not my gift. I don't have the gift of evangelism.
I don't feel led. No, I'm just kidding. I don't say that. But yeah, it is your calling as a believer.
It's every believer, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, if God's goal is just for you to worship, right? Like be the best worshiper, that's it that he had for you, why would he not just take you to heaven right now?
Yeah.
If it was just for you to be like knowledgeable about him, why would he not take you to heaven right now? If it was just for you to be as moral as possible, why would he not take you to heaven right now? Paul articulates it. He has left me here. Paul's saying this. He has left me here for your sake, for your progress in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
God has you here on this earth as a Christian to continue to worship, to continue to grow, to continue to serve, to continue to give. But ultimately, because he wants your life to be lived for others to see who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is every believer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Great Commission's for everyone. And while it is a very clear command in Scripture, it's also, I believe, a call.
Yeah.
And so it's not just something that the Lord has placed in our lives as part of our identity, who we are, but it's also something he's equipped us to do. It's like the end of the Great Commission, and I am with you always. He's given us his Holy Spirit in us. The task he's given us, we can't do on our own.
Yeah.
But it most definitely is a call. And so it's so important to him and his heart to see people coming to know him, that he's given us his Spirit to be able to lead us as we have conversations and to share clearly the gospel, not because of our own effort, our own knowledge, but as he's working in us and through us. And so, you know, there are barriers and things that may hinder us or fears that we may have in sharing the gospel or knowing how to or when to. But I think that's, you know, one of the reasons why we offer the class, evangelism class, having everyday conversations as gospel conversations. We want to equip people to identify those barriers, to identify some of those fears, and to have tools to be able to engage and take an everyday conversation, an everyday relationship, mm-hmm. and help them point people to Jesus mm-hmm. and the good news of him, mm-hmm. The That's gift true. Of salvation that he's offered through his death and resurrection.
Yeah,
I think something that can be like detrimental to this often is like we look at like the pastor. And usually, I'm not even the best at these, but like the pastor's pretty good at like explaining the Bible and articulating certain things, and that's not the measure of being a disciple maker or even Bible teacher. It's being faithful to who God's made you to be. And I do think sometimes like we like to celebrate, and not even those, but just the people who are really quote unquote good at it. But God has not said, hey, this is reserved for the people who are more charismatic or better, you know, more articulate. This is mm-hmm. this is something that every one of you are called to do.
Yeah.
And I do really feel, I find, and this personally too, maybe you can resonate with this, like we do a lot of stuff in our jobs that aren't actually like necessarily, I've already said this, like discipleship or evangelism. But when I'm like meeting with a new believer or leading a non-believer to Christ or meeting with people to read the Bible and study it, when I'm doing that, I'm like, this is what I'm made to do. Mm-hmm. And I think every believer who really will lean into that will get a taste of that. Like, I'm created for this. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But you got to take that step of faith as you mm-hmm. went to over and over again earlier. Right. So, yeah.
Well, Michael, thank you for being here. Yeah. It was great to hear your heart and all the amazing things that are going on through discipleship. And
so good.
It's always great to have an older brother here. And
yeah, his 2 days.
Older brother, wow.
People may not know, he's 2 days older than me.
Really?
Yes.
2 days.
Okay. I usually 2 days. Really 48 enjoy hours. August 23rd.
48 hours.
I really enjoy August 23rd.
He loves that day.
That's awesome.
What was 40 when I put all the balloons? I put like balloons and stuff.
A lot of black balloons.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Boy. Okay.
I turned 40 the next day, but
you
like,
didn't just return the balloons?
I don't know if I did or not.
No.
Are we that old now?
It's not even that long ago. It was only two and a half years ago.
Oh yeah, we were like in between offices. That was a while.
That was a whole other building ago.
Season ago. Well, if you don't know anything else about Michael, you will come to find out that he loves Chick-fil-A.
Just a little,
right?
He does love Chick-fil-A.
Just a little. You're like a gold member, right? Did you go to like a
signature level?
We are also signature, but when you have 8 people in your house, it doesn't take that many times to get signature status.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Okay.
But we missed out on the free thing because we were out of town.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever the special thing.
Dana got the email and I didn't. I don't know what the deal was.
Well, you
I
mean, don't we still share? Have to participate. You don't share?
I have 2 separate accounts.
You and you got 2 signature? Whoa.
Wow.
Okay.
Did you, have you ever done that?
That is a whole nother level.
Yeah. Have you ever stayed when it opened?
I have. Okay. Twice.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, the Crestview one.
Wait, Chris like recently?
Oh, was Chris there?
Chris was there.
How was there? Was he one of the first 100?
Yes. You didn't notice him? He's really tall.
Well, I didn't know him then, so. Okay. But Sadie went up with me, and then the one out by the outlets. When
you guys
they
probably
opened.
Made eye contact.
I know. Probably did. How did you not? Like, yeah. There's another giraffe.
Another giraffe.
I'm allowed to call him that. It's a joke. My husband.
What's his tooth? A leg? So, leg? He's got like a giraffe expression, right?
I don't know. It's like a joke about
giraffe.
The giraffe
high in a creek or something. I don't know.
Who
anyway.
Knows?
Okay. He's do you know this?
I don't.
Crazy
okay.
Things. Yeah. But anyways, back to Chick-fil-A. So, and
has something to do with Sasquatch Zoo.
Oh,
remember
yeah,
Sasquatch
probably.
Zoo? It's now Emerald Coast Zoo.
Was it really called that?
It was called Sasquatch.
I thought you were joking.
Right.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
I just had like Bigfoot.
Sorry.
Sasquatch.
That's where
okay.
the ah. That's where you heard
days,
it from.
The Mossy
okay.
Head Zoo.
Sorry.
So Chick-fil-A, in the spirit of playing a game. Sorry for the other guests who didn't get to play a game.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I'm the sorry. Only guest. Sweet.
No,
yeah, we
no.
Had some others, no. but sorry. We're gonna play. So
Chloe.
We'll. And I didn't bring a pencil.
Lucas
again.
And Greta. Sorry.
They what? Didn't. Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
My we're bad. Going to play a game. And these are Chick-fil-A trivia questions.
Oh, I'm nervous.
So
okay.
We'll just go back and forth, and I'll kind of keep. Track.
Okay, one at a time. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're in.
We're a team. Can we be a
nope,
team?
Nope. Let's go.
Give him
a
the
team.
Give him the hard ones.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Go for it.
Okay.
We'll see how it goes. Maybe
we'll go back
team
and forth.
Later.
So.
I mean, he's double signature over here.
Yeah. You better win.
He's got like a Chick-fil-A Amex.
I wish.
The first ones will be easy. So, okay, Michael, what day of the week is Chick-fil-A always closed?
Sunday.
Okay, good job. So, kids, listen along because, you know, you could get some of these probably. James, what is Chick-fil-A's signature sauce called?
Chick-fil-A sauce?
Yep.
Okay, all right.
Okay, Michael, what phrase do Chick-fil-A employees say instead of you're welcome.
My pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Most of them say
most
that.
Of them.
They should be fired. Just kidding.
Are they, is there it's some kind of thing if you don't say it, then they're supposed to like.
You can't say you're welcome.
Really?
No.
Okay.
I don't know if there's consequences, but you can't. You're not supposed to.
Okay, James, what type of oil does Chick-fil-A use to cook its chicken?
Is it peanut oil?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, peanut oil. Okay. All right, this is going to get a little bit harder now.
I know, I'm getting nervous.
It's going to get harder. Okay. All right, Michael, what year was Chick-fil-A founded?
Oh, goodness. No.
I've been to the original Chick-fil-A. It's called the, well, I don't know.
I've got two dates in my head, but I think they're both wrong. 1957.
I would guess the 50s also.
No, close. Do you want to try?
1954.
46.
Oh.
See, I was thinking 57 or 47.
That's like right after World War II.
Yeah, that is crazy. I don't know. It's that old. Okay. Yeah. All right, James, what was the original name of the restaurant?
Dwarf House, right?
Kind of.
I cut you off. What were you going to say?
No, that was right. So, the original name of the restaurant before it became Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. Was that the Dwarf House?
I think so.
It is actually the Dwarf Grill, but then it says later called Dwarf House.
Oh, Dwarf Grill.
So,
okay.
Wow. You guys knew that, though.
You couldn't get a business off the ground calling it that today.
No, it's true.
Oh, my goodness.
No. Okay.
Next question.
Michael, what is the name of Chick-fil-A's founder?
Truett Cathy.
Come on.
Truett S. Or S. Truett Cathy.
You've met him, haven't you? I'm sure.
I did meet him.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I met Dan Cathy at a Chick-fil-A in Gwinnett. Is that Gwinnett County?
In Georgia.
Gwinnett. Is there a town called Gwinnett?
County.
County.
County, yeah.
It was in Duluth. Duluth.
Duluth, yeah.
Yeah. He was working at it.
Did he play the trumpet for you?
No. I was like, hey, that's...
He plays the trumpet?
Pretty sure that's the guy who runs Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, James, what's the most popular item on the Chick-fil-A menu?
My guess would be a Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Yeah.
But original. You should get it with no pickles.
What?
Yeah. Ooh.
No, you can't, too. It's got to be, I get extra, but.
Ooh.
No pickles.
Ooh. Ugh, y'all are gross. I hate when you go to like.
What do you put on your Chick-fil-A sandwich?
Chick-fil-A sauce, and that's
okay.
It.
Okay.
Really?
Like, I usually get the spicy sandwich with no pickles and ranch, but actually, usually I just get chicken strips to avoid the bread, but when you get it catered and it's already got the pickles on it, mm-hmm. I'm like, man,
okay.
I'm like, that many people don't like pickles?
What's your favorite? What do you get?
I typically get the sandwich.
The number one.
With extra pickles?
With a lot of extra pickles.
Now, in like a little dish, or do they put it on the sandwich?
It depends sometimes.
He gets the Michael.
They just know when I come in. They're ready for me.
Billy Grimes at McDonald's.
And then I do. Yes, that's right. I do the honey roasted barbecue, the little thin packets.
Really?
So it tastes similar to Chick-fil-A sauce. Yeah. But
okay.
So was I right that the Chick-fil-A sandwich is the number one?
Mm-hmm, it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Good job. All right, Michael. In what U.S. state? These are easy. Was the first Chick-fil-A restaurant opened?
Georgia.
Yep.
His hometown.
But I believe. Well, this may be old news.
That
may be a question that I'm going to wait. No.
No, I don't see it on there.
No, I was going to say the state with the most Chick-fil-A's.
Oh.
It used to be Texas, but that was a while back, so I don't know if it's still the case. Okay. But we'll have to look that up.
What state has the most Chick-fil-A restaurants? Texas. You're
Sweet.
Right.
Good job.
Still true.
Mm-hmm. There is also a Chick-fil-A in D.C. in Chinatown.
Oh, yeah.
I just visited it last week, and there's only seating for 12 people, and everybody else has to stand.
What's the most obscure
tables.
Chick-fil-A you've been to? I've been to one
that
in
was
Queens. Jackson Heights.
Okay. Yeah, the big cities Chick-fil-A.
Chicago's, yeah.
We had a code for the bathroom, everything.
Really?
It was kind of weird.
Wow.
Yeah.
Impacts
okay.
the culture.
Yeah.
That's Trump. If you're not, if you, yeah,
a
yeah.
A code?
Yeah, yeah.
Did he share it with anybody?
Well, yeah. Oh,
just, okay, no. Sorry.
Whoa.
Okay, number 11. What does the A in Chick-fil-A stand for?
Chick-fil-A? Oh, wow.
I've never thought about this either.
Wait a second.
I thought
is that his question or my question?
That was his.
Oh, perfect.
What's A stand for? Appetizing?
Says grade A quality.
Wow. Oh, Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm. Got it.
Do you know who did their design?
No.
It was...
Jesus?
It was, I believe it was...
Moses?
Louis Giglio's dad.
Really?
I believe so.
That would make sense.
My family's been...
Okay.
I'm like 80%
making money
sure.
off of Christian stuff for a long time.
That makes sense. All right, Michael, what's the name of the charitable foundation run by Chick-fil-A?
Seriously?
Windshape.
He worked for Windshape.
I've worked for Windshape.
They didn't even say that. That was, I mean, that's right.
What'd they put in there?
It just says it's some kind of foundation.
Yeah, Windshape. Yeah,
Windshape. And you worked for them.
Did you use Burger King to get your answers?
No, I should have had you write these questions because it but seems then, like you.
We've gotten all of them except for the A.
The A, yeah, all I didn't right. know that.
What these are easy. What unique feature does the Chick-fil-A drive-thru design have to improve efficiency?
The people with iPads?
I mean,
double drive-thru.
The double drive-thru?
Double drive-thru with face-to-face.
Yeah, face-to-face. Where,
yeah. Okay. I don't know whose turn it is. Yours? What seasonal milkshake flavor is released every fall? I didn't know this.
It may be in the more winter, I think.
Oh, it's like autumn harvest or something? Is that the one? Their milkshakes are so good. I just can't eat them because I'm already...
Yeah.
Peppermint's not the fall. That's
their milkshake brings all the boys to the yard.
Oh, my word.
So, Autumn Spice.
Okay, see, I don't remember that one.
But this is what it says. Previously, it was a peppermint shake, but that's now that's the winter.
That's the winter. December,
yeah. So, is that new?
That one is so good.
Autumn?
The peppermint?
I guess. I don't remember.
You like the peppermint?
I love the peppermint one. Mm. When they first started doing them, their fall one was, it was like a caramel coffee or something.
You say, right, caramel. But caramel. I say caramel. Do you say caramel or caramel?
Caramel.
Yeah, but he says it. He says it the way
they
say it.
The last one is really easy. I'm not going to even go over that. But yes.
What is it?
Good job. It was asking about the mascot.
Oh.
So.
It's Michael Van Zandt.
Free advertising.
Michael Van Zandt.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
Well, thanks again.
You know almost as much about Chick-fil-A as you do about Jesus. But thankfully, you know more about Jesus than discipleship.
Yes, good job. Well, if you have any questions about wanting to be more involved with discipleship or ministry opportunities, events at Church on Bayshore, you can email Michael at Michael with an A first at churchonbayshore.org. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.